are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Do 2 Samuel 11, verse 4, at the campus says, peep this. Then David sent messages to her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed her menstrual, so she go back home. Later, she find out she pregnant. She sent a message to a dude named David saying, I'm pregnant. Do me a favor. Thank you, Tupac. Push 10 people and tell them Brenda's got a baby. Go ahead, Brenda's. Brenda's got a baby. You may be seated in the Lord's house. Brenda's Got a Baby is the debut single from Tupac Shakur's debut album, Tupacalypse. Featuring David Hollister, R&B singer, Brenda's Got a Baby is basically about a young girl who had a baby prematurely with no financial means to provide. Like many of Pac's songs, the record is about the impoverished people, those and the plight of the impoverished, those that have no means to take care of themselves. Much of Pac's music was social, political. In the song, Pac criticizes the baby's father, the government, and society in general. Pac wrote the song when he read a newspaper article about a young 12-year-old girl named Brenda, pregnant by her cousin, nervous, and threw the baby in a trash can. Yeah, Pac said, and I quote, Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda's barely got a brain. It's a darn shame. She could hardly spell her name. Brenda barely knew her mom. Her daddy was a junkie putting death in his arms. It's so sad that Brenda doesn't know that just because you're from the ghetto doesn't mean you can't grow. But oh no, that's my thought. That's my revelation. Do whatever you can to resist the temptation. Unquote. Pac was basically talking about a young girl raised without parents who makes the mistake of getting pregnant too early. Might I suggest to everyone in this crowded church and across the world that before there was a Brenda, there was a Bathsheba? That the Bible is full of women who hung out in historic antiquity, who didn't necessarily plan their babies, but stuff just happened. And might I build a bridge of contemporization from antiquity to modernity and suggest I ain't got to go that far, because there's at least 100 real sisters in this room that may be married now with children but have done a couple things that maybe you would do differently. Do me a favor. I know it's early in the message, but every woman lean on another sister and say, I can't tell you everything about me. Go ahead, say it. There's a couple things I'm going to have to keep on the low. I've made a couple of mistakes in my life. Y'all pray for me. I know I say this every year, but every year I mean it. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but pray for me, because what teacher do you know that never ever gets a new textbook? I have to teach every year for nearly 20 years, teaching out of the same book. Whatever else real preaching is, it is finding a way to have an innovative way of telling an immutable truth. It is finding an innovative way to tell an immutable, unchanging truth. In other words, this Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Problem is, pray for me, because it's a bit of a pedagogical conundrum when you've been pastoring nearly 20 years between my first church and this blessed church I have the privilege to be progenitor of. I've been preaching Mother's Day messages for almost 20 years every year, because the second Sunday in May in the USA is always Mother's Day, and if you want somebody to show up, you better have something fresh to say. Can I suggest to all of you that I preached about every biblical baller mama in the Bible? I preached about Holy Hannah and how she prayed for Samuel. I preached about Jochebed, Moses' mama. I preached about the crazy sister from Canaan whose daughter had a devil in her, and she told Jesus, "Treat me like a dog, but help my baby." I preached about Mama Mary, the mother of our Savior. But what preacher would have the unusual audacity, the unmitigated gall, to preach about a bad sister named Bathsheba on Mother's Day? Yours does. Because I want to lift up a sister who's a part of the list. Women, read this, Bad Girls of the Bible. It's a book worth reading, Bad Girls of the Bible, because every woman that has made a mistake can at least in part identify with Sister Bathsheba. Let me jump in this right quick. You got your Bible? Look at it with me. Let's make sure we all working together, because 2 Samuel 11, verse 2 and 3, I don't have time to exegete the full passage, so give me some pastoral privilege to make it do what it do right quick. Late one afternoon, your boy David, you know King David, was walking on the roof of the palace. He looked out over the city and noticed a woman of unusual beauty. First of all, he shouldn't have even been there. I'm not preaching about David. I've done that tens of times. I'm preaching about Bathsheba. Let me just use David as a biblical backdrop to set the context. Please check this. King David on the roof, should have been at battle with his boys. Be careful, brothers. When you come out of warfare, you'll start tripping. He should have been in war, but because he was home, he looked off his roof. The sister wasn't being fast. I taught you this. She wasn't trying to show a kind of porn nudity show. There was no internal plumbing, so women bathed outside on the roof. Just so happens, because he's at the top. Remember I told you a couple months ago, be careful when God lets you get to the top, because you have access to stuff some people don't. That's for all young brothers who think you want to be in ministry. Sometimes your gift will take you where your character can't keep you. Everybody think they want to be up here. Up here comes with some responsibility. You don't get to flirt with girls that are supposed to be your spiritual daughters. That's called spiritual molestation. Yeah, you don't get to dishonor your wife and act crazy and then be over people preaching every week. I know I make a lot of mistakes, but some mistakes I just can't make. Can I tell you what happened to David? He had some anthropological manly moments. He had some anthropological manly attractions. That's okay. I ain't mad at him. Every straight up heterosexual brother in this room who sees a fine woman has to fight not to have a double take. Cool in the gang. You have anthropological attractions, but be careful. David should have stopped right there. He asks, who is that sister? They say, that's Uriah's wife. Cool in the gang. It's over. I'm the king. I can have any chick I want. I'm not going to take this brother's wife. Not going to do that. Too much character. But no, what does he do? Thank you, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. If you're watching tonight, he let his loins trap his logic. I said that a couple months ago, but half of you missed it. He let his loins trap his logic. Can I tell you why many brothers got a couple babies, mamas? Because you let your loins trap your logic. Can I tell you why they're beautiful brothers here messed up on porn, adultery, pornea, sexual deviance? Because many of us, if we're not careful, we let our loins trap our logic. When you let your loins trap your logic, you'll end up losing your wife and end up losing the honor of your children, paying child support to more than one house, all because you let your loins trap your logic. I know there are many brothers who let their loins trap your logic. Don't worry, brother, you're at the right church. I ain't here to beat you up. I'm here to help you get up. Is there anybody like me that has made some mistakes in your life, but God gave you another chance? This brother, let his loins trap his logic, calls the girl up to the house, and the scripture says he laid with her. Can I tell you something about Bathsheba? Wait a minute. The Bible says, as he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty. Unusual. So she wasn't just fine. She was unusually fine. It's one thing to be fine. The Bible doesn't say she's just beautiful. The Bible says she's unusually beautiful. Hey, woman, do me a favor. Touch your sister next to you and say, you beautiful, but I'm unusually beautiful. Go ahead. Every brother in here know what I'm talking about. There's fine, and then there's, oh, my goodness. Praise God. She is, oh, my goodness, fine. The Bible says she is taking a bath. Guess what I just figured out? That's why her name is called Bathsheba. No, it's not. Y'all believe that? 10 of y'all like, oh, wow, that's revelation, Pastor. That's not revelation. I'm lying. That's not why her name called. I just never saw that in 30 years. She's taking a bath, so bath. Okay. I'll do better next service. Here's all I'm saying. Can I tell y'all something that I never saw in all my years of teaching? She is the daughter of Eliam. Eliam is the dad of one of David's dudes. You know, the dirty 30, the guys that rode with David, could fight, was every place with him. Truth be told, I never knew this. Eliam's son is the cat that David slept with his granddaughter. So he's sleeping with his dude's granddaughter and don't even know it. I know it's early in the message, but put somebody and say, be careful who you sleep with. Go ahead. They may be kin to you. Y'all just missed that. They may be kin to somebody you love. Be careful jumping in and out of stuff. I got to go, but I want y'all to catch this. Okay, so he sleeps with her. He sleeps with her. And verse 5 says, and I'm going fast. Great crowd, by the way. One of the best I ever had on Mother's Day. Thank you for letting me be myself again. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. So she sleeps with David. Her menstrual had just ended. She's in that pregnant cycle and don't even know it. Boom, David sleep with her. She's having a baby. Here's the question I want to ask you. Did she want to be there or did David make her be there? Truth be told, text don't tell me. Was she infatuated? Was she a little bit turned on by David? Did she think it was cute? Was she like, wow, he likes me? Or did she hate being there? Can I tell you something critical? Between patriarchy and monarchy, who knows? Patriarchy, it's a male-dominated society, which means women have little to no rights. Monarchy, he's the king, dictatorship with all power. So between patriarchy and monarchy, did she want to be there or did she have to be there? Can I tell y'all the first kind of woman I want to deal with, the first kind of mother I want to deal with, because the Bible says she got pregnant. This is so crazy. We got to start somewhere. So let me give kudos to every mother in here who had to make adjustments. To all you perfect mothers, I'll holler at y'all next year, but to every straight-up mother at every campus that you had to make some adjustments. I'm talking to unwed mothers and young mothers. Peep this, divorced mothers. Pastor, why don't you say single mothers? I know I've said it in the past. I'll probably say it again, but it's not one of my favorite terms. Maybe because I've heard it abused so much. You ever had a sister talking to somebody? I'm a single mother. I got 17 kids and don't nobody help me. Please do me a favor. Be careful. Who asked you your marital status? Just tell me you're a mother. Who asked you if you were a single mother? I didn't ask you your marital status. I just asked you, did you have children? You don't have to give me your marital status as if you're looking for sympathy. No, Pastor, that's just semantics. No, that's sympathy. I'm not looking for sympathy. Every mother in this room is one of two things. You a victim or a volunteer? Oh, I feel like preaching up in here. It's on the screens. You a victim or a volunteer? Don't y'all look at me like that. Is there any person in here like me that has bust some moves in your life you shouldn't have made, but you ain't looking for nobody to feel sorry for you? I got myself in this. God and me gonna get me out. Is there anybody here that would thank God that you might have made some mistakes? I got women in this church with 5, 6, yes, 7 kids that I've never heard complain. I love it. It's like, boom, it happened. It is what it is. I ain't got time to blame nobody. My babies need me now. If God sent me somebody, fine. Tell somebody they don't want no child support. Support yourself. Go ahead. I wished I had 50 women up in here that know you are better than your past. God has a plan for you. Every divorced mother, every unwed mother, every young mother, no, you didn't plan it, but life happened. What you gonna do now? I have women in this church I have pastored for years, and I promise you, I know their situation, but they have such dignity. Oh, they have some down days, but you never know all the mess they've been through and every man and every detail and who's not helping them. They come in here every week with a pep in their step. Their babies are greased and Vaseline down, looking good, clean hair comb. Don't nobody feel sorry for you but Pastor and your mama. You better get your stuff together. Do me a favor, slap somebody, say, get your stuff together. Go ahead. I wished I had somebody in here that has been through some stuff, but you don't make excuses, you make adjustments. This is your time, woman of God, to be the woman God calls you to be. I want to talk to some women who had to make adjustments. First I was married, then I found out something about him and I'm by myself. That's an adjustment. I was just a young millennial by myself and bust one move and now I got a baby. Threw my life off a little bit. It thwarted my destiny some. That's an adjustment. I thought I'd be married forever and life happened. That's an adjustment. What do you do when you have to make an adjustment? Can I suggest to all of you in this room, it blesses my life because the text says that David then had to figure out how to cover his mess. I ain't preaching about David. I preached about him tens of times. I'm preaching about Bathsheba. David now got to figure out how to cover his mess. You all know this part. What does he do? First, he tried to get the brother drunk. Figure if he get the brother drunk, he'll sleep with his own wife. He'll think the baby here is cooling the game. Brother won't even get drunk. Brother won't sleep with his own wife. Why? Because the dudes, guys, are still at battle. He said, if my dudes can't sleep with their wife, I'm not sleeping with mine. I told you 2 months ago, it's a shame when the people under you got more integrity than you. This guy won't even sleep with his own wife. He's like, no, I don't care if you call me home to sleep with my wife. I'm not going to do it. If my dudes can't sleep with their wife, I'm not sleeping with mine. Once David couldn't get him drunk, once David couldn't get him to have sex with his wife, now David is panicking. Why is he panicking? Because no one cared how many wives the king had. It was common in that day to have more than one wife. What they did care about was the king taking somebody else's wife. That could stain your legacy. That could stain your monarchy. That could stain your kingship. You lose the honor of the country. So David is panicking, and David starts lying, and now David got slick. Sin will make you slick. Okay, I'm sorry. I ain't got no real members. Sin has made me slick before. Sin will make you slick. Grandma said if you tell one lie, you gotta tell another one. I've learned over the years to repent quickly and get up from stuff and not stay down. Because if you start covering stuff, it's a trip. I'm talking to 10 brothers. I give you my word. If you whisper in my ear, I'll pray for you today. But I'm talking to 10 brothers who got 2 cell phones, 2 women, 2 lives. It's torture. You got to always be in character. Sometimes forget which character you are. Trying to cover one thing to cover that. Over here, you got to be that. Come home, you got to be this. Taking showers, changing clothes, hiding stuff, porn addictions. And because you won't tell nobody, I'd rather be public than privately in bondage. If you don't find you a church where you can walk up, because I've seen people who just wouldn't tell the truth, and it led to degradation and one slick and another slick, and now they hide in that slick, and they go from being one thing to another just because they wouldn't fess up. So many women, so many men have fallen because sin makes you slick. How slick does David get? He ends up getting the brother killed. He puts the brother on the front line militaristically, and the brother gets killed. And then what does he do? He moves the sister he was creeping with in the house with him and then marries her because she said, I'm pregnant. Now, y'all got to catch this, because not only do I want to deal with people and mothers who had to make adjustments, but the second category of mothers are confused mothers. Ooh, I feel like preaching. I know y'all don't want me to preach this, but I come to preach some straight-up Mother's Day stuff. Okay, all your life, you never thought about this, so come here. I don't care how much you've read this story. Trip with me for a minute from Bathsheba's perspective, not David's. From Bathsheba's perspective, Bathsheba was out there taking a bath. She wasn't flirting. She wasn't trying to be fast. You're going to call me up to the palace. Patriarchy and monarchy demanded that I come. You're going to sleep with me, get me pregnant. Then the man that I really love, you kill him. Once you kill him, now you move me in with you. I'm pregnant by you, but I really love him. Now you done made me marry you while I'm still grieving him. So here I am in the bed with you. You killed the person I really love, but because you got power and messed with my mind and took advantage of your authority, now I'm in the house with you, don't want to be with you. Now some of y'all thinking this is too rough for Mother's Day. That's your problem. Because there are 10 of you that do not want this deodorized, sanitized Mother's Day mess. Because every mother in here is not 2.5 children married to one man. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Never done nothing wrong. Half of y'all got babies by more than one person, been to hell, and don't like the Negro you with now. That's the truth. Somebody tell me to preach up in here. Confused, but what do you do when you love them but can't stand him? But if you leave him, you mess with them. There are confused men and women here. There are confused fathers here who are doing the best they can, but it's not Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. Confused mothers. What do you do when you got to maintain a kind of equanimity because they need stability? But every time you look at him, you wonder what happened. Should I stay? Should I go? Should I stay? Should I go? If I leave, it impacts them. I don't like him, but I'm committed to them, and it's better for them if me and him stay together. But if I leave him, what's going to happen to them? And it's a lot. They're confused mothers with no man in the house, and you want your young man to be a man without you having a man, and sometimes it feels confusing. It doesn't mean you're not saved. The problem is this deodorized, sanitized preaching does not free people. The way people get delivered is from truth. I want to teach you how to be confused with a worship in your mouth. Can I talk to somebody? Do me a favor. Slap somebody and say, this is a confused praise. Go ahead. Yeah, sometimes I don't understand what I'm praising God for. I just know he's good when I don't understand what he's doing. I got to praise God, though he slayed me. I wish I had 10 real women in here that your life is not perfect, but you came this morning to say thank you, Jesus. In spite of it all, at least your baby is sitting next to you, or you called them this morning, or they called you. Somebody tell me to preach. Verse 26 and 27, I'm finished. Thank y'all. I got 4 minutes. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she grieved for her husband. When the time of mourning was over, David sent someone to bring her to his house. She became his wife, and she bore his son. Now, not only does Brenda have a baby, but Bathsheba got a baby. Bathsheba got a baby by a brother she didn't ask to be with. The man she really loved, the brother she with, now had him killed. Now she's pregnant. Let me ask you something else I never tripped on in my whole preach-teach career. Is this Bathsheba's first baby? Did she ever have one by Uriah? Did she want her first to be by the man she loved? Is this her first child? Because the text don't tell me. Is this her first child, having never had a chance to have a child with the man she really wanted to have a child with? Now you got a child by somebody you don't necessarily want to be with, but the child is innocent, so you got to love the child while grieving the dad. That's real preaching for you. I want you to understand that the text tells me that not only does Brenda have a baby, but Bathsheba got a baby. Please catch this. Not only do I see this whole idea of the confused mother, can I tell you something? Let me pause here and parenthetically digress, because at the same time, there are women in this room, and it needs to be said, that have married one man. Some of my seasoned older mothers didn't believe in more than one man. I know I tell you all the time, but my mother-in-law, I'm a blessed today, one of the only women I know, she has kissed one man. She is 81. She's only kissed one man in her life. He's in heaven now. She only hugged, kissed, made love to one man, and she's 81 years old. He died in the 90s. She never remarried. She was 50 and cute then. but she never remarried, living on his legacy. To the women in this room that have had one husband, love God, one set of children, did it God's way, can we at least clap for them right quick? If you want to know why Lady Vernon and I show up at teen church every Saturday like we only got 10 members instead of 10,000, it's because we're trying to get the outsiders, the teenagers, to know no matter what we've done, I want you to do it God's way. And the best way is to marry somebody first. Both of you love Jesus. One set of children with the same last name. You don't want to go to the airport with four names on a family vacation. This is Pookie Smith, Nikki Johnson. This is my daughter, Susie Mae, Michael. And the lady at the desk, like, praise God, amen. I don't just say that theoretically, I say that experientially. Whenever you do, okay, let me fast forward because y'all been too great of a crowd. I'm cutting some off. It's Mother's Day, and I feel a take mama to dinner spirit way back there in the bowl. So let me hurry up because I'm going to cut some off when I tell you that in David's mind, he got away with it. Cool in the gang. I should have gotten her pregnant, but it happened. Hey, I crept with her. She mine now. Sorry, player. You dead. She mine. We got a baby. Cool in the gang. But then the prophet came by. The prophet came by. Be careful. God's going to send the prophet. All of you that think you're getting away, God's always got a prophet. The prophet came by. David think it's over with, cooling the gang. I know I was wrong, but hey, he dead, she live with me, it's over. But Nathan comes by, prophet Nathan comes by and says, Mr. King, can I tell you a little story? Sure, tell me a story, Pastor. Well, there was this man, he had gazillions, I'm vernonizing, billions of dollars. There was this other cat, he only had like $1. This guy had billions and millions of dollars. This guy had like one little sheep. That's all he had. This guy was billions and billions of dollars. This guy had one sheep. The guy with billions and billions of dollars took the one sheep from the one guy, and that was all he had. Mr. King, what do you think should happen to a man like that? David got turned. What? That man should be killed. The prophet looked at him and said, you the man. Oh, I feel like preaching. He said, you the man. And the way you played Uriah, God saw it. And God loves you because you got his heart. But you reap? I feel like preaching to 10 grown people in this section. Go to another church next year for Plastic Mother's Day, sanitized and deodorized version. Today, we're going to preach real stuff. And the reality is that many of us that are blessed are still paying. Tell somebody, I'm blessed, but I'm paying. Go ahead. No, I need some real straight-up people. Whenever you have more than one child by more than one person, you pay a little bit. Whenever there's a soul tied by another man you shouldn't have been to bed with, you pay a little bit. Whenever your kids got to decide between covenants, you pay a little bit. Whenever one person doesn't get to see their baby every night because the baby live here while you live there, you pay a little bit. You're forgiven, grace is on you, but the children pay. The children got to wonder, how come I don't live with mama? Well, who cheated? You or mama? So my mama nasty, my daddy nasty, which one nasty? Both of y'all nasty? I got to reconcile that while still trying to be human, and you expect me not to go to grief recovery when my parents cheated on each other. I don't know what to think. I feel like preaching to somebody. Can I get some real people like me that have done some stuff you shouldn't have done in your life, and God has given you grace, but you gotta pay. You gotta pay. Grown people pay without complaining. Saved people pay and say, at least I'm not dead. Is there anybody here that should be dead, that has done some stuff you shouldn't have done, but God gave you another chance? Stand up and sit back down and holler, I feel that. The prophet said, God's gonna give you grace, King, and you're not gonna die. But things may not work out too well with the baby. Oh, this is the hard part, but I refuse to preach a deodorized, sanitized, vis-a-vis theologized version of Mother's Day. Because the reality is, the baby got sick. Now David is in a precarious position because he does love God. Some of y'all thinking David is trifling. I wouldn't go to a church with a pastor like that. This man then slept with somebody's wife. This man then killed somebody. This man then covered it up, lean on somebody and say, then why you read the 23rd Psalm? Go ahead, ask him right quick. Because David wrote that. The same stuff you hating on, you read. Pastor, how you gonna give any kudos to David when he's some Jerry Springer stuff? Here it is today. I gave you this before. This is Wayne Dawson from Fox 8. We like to report that pastor of the Word Church has been found sleeping with another man's wife. Now, we're not sure. The details are still coming in. But the reporters are saying that he had some gangsters on St. Clair kill the man. Now it's being reported that the woman he was cheating with is now living out at his ranch with him and his other wives, and the other person is murdered, and the woman is pregnant at the same time. Y'all would kill me on social media for that. But that's just what David did, and you still love him, because you know what you figured out? What I did is not who I am. I wished I had somebody here on this Mother's Day afternoon that has done some stuff you're not proud of, but aren't you glad that your history does not dictate your destiny, that the best is yet to come? And David was a trip, but he loved God. Y'all pray for me. But the longer I pastor, I'm learning. Get some brothers around you who may have some faults, but they honest. They honest about their issues. They honest about their stuff. There's no lying, and they love God. Because I love God don't mean I don't do something wrong, but I can't stay down. David got on his knees and said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Wash me and I'll be clean. Is there anybody that came to church this morning, mama or daddy, to say, wash me with the blood? What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath thy flood. Remove my guilt and shame. If you're here today and you've jacked up your whole life, all I've ever asked from any man or woman at this church is look me in my eye and tell me the truth. And we'll plead the blood right there. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just. It don't mean you won't pay some. That's called life. But God is looking for people with pure hearts that will say, I haven't been the best mother, but I'm here today. I want to be a better grandmother than I was a mother. Haven't been the best dad. I broke my wife's heart, Pastor, but I'm here because I'm trying. I'm here because I don't want to lose her. I'm here because in my flesh dwells nothing good, but my heart is right. I got bad flesh with a good heart. I got bad flesh with a good heart. Y'all ready for this? The Bible says the baby died. Oh, shoot. Well, we've dealt with mothers who were young and mothers who didn't plan it and mothers who were single and mothers who were confused. I guess we got to touch grieving mothers. Because the Bible says that David didn't wash up for weeks. David wouldn't shave. David wouldn't come out the room. His staff is nervous. He's on suicide watch. He's grieving. What trips me out in this patriarchal Bible of ours is that it talks about David's grief, but not the mama's. How you gonna skip the mama? I know the Hebraic culture is male dominated. There's some problems with scripture. If you want to be theological, we'll touch that later to people who like deep conversation. It's too deep for Mother's Day. There are some problems with Hebraic dominated male scripture because the text tells me about David's grief, but not Bathsheba's. And who you think was really grieving the most. And I know we shouldn't compare pain, but there is no love like a mother's love. I don't care what y'all say there. I know I'm not a mother, but there is no love like a mother's love. The grieving mothers, I got to go, but I would be remiss not to touch grieving mothers here today. There's some mothers here that had to sadly take your baby to the cemetery. There are older women here who said goodbye to mama 20 years ago. You were 60, so you know mama been dead 30 years, and every Mother's Day you still think about her. There are those of you who had to take your baby to the cemetery. That's grief. There are people here that are grieving because your child not only never reached their potential, they never reached for their potential. And in your heart, you know there was more in them than they're producing, and that's a kind of grief. Grief is real. And Pastor, don't preach about grief on Mother's Day. Really? That's sanitized and deodorized. Real ministry speaks to grief, because every time you just throw out the term, Happy Mother's Day, be careful who you say that to. For everybody, it's not happy. There are people who are ambivalent about Mother's Day. It conjures up an amalgam of emotions. Yeah, I was hugging a girl just this morning. They said, Pastor, she lost her baby last week. We're burying so many people so fast, I had to hug her and remember who she was. Just lost her baby last Sunday. I'm hugging another lady who just lost her baby. So since I was hugging her, I called over another one of my precious women who I know lost her baby and said, come pray with her. And y'all exchanged numbers. I got ready to walk away, and the Holy Spirit gave me this. I ran back over and said, come here. I want you to head a ministry called Never Forget. Never Forget will be a ministry for parents who lost their children at the Word Church, where we make sure we remember the anniversary of the death. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, why are you preaching this? These women who lost their children don't want you to bring that up. You crazy. They appreciate me bringing it up because they never want to forget the memory of their child, and they're glad that their church recognizes that they may get off your lap, but they never get off your heart. And every mother here that has lost a child, or your child has broke your heart, that's called a grieving mother. God bless y'all. I got to go for show. I got to roll. Pastor, is that the end of the sermon? So what had happened was David wouldn't wash up. David wouldn't shave. David wouldn't come out. David wouldn't get up. Finally, they come in and say the baby has died. Y'all think David shot himself? Y'all think David went and got high? Y'all think David went and had some sex to anesthetize the pain? David got up, shaved his face, put on deodorant, put on some cologne, put on a hookup, went to the church and started worshiping God. Some of y'all saying, what was he worshiping for? They say he is bipolar. Last week he wouldn't even come out the room. Last week he wouldn't even say amen. Last week he wouldn't praise. He wouldn't wash up. Now he didn't got dressed. Is he crazy? When the baby was sick, the man wouldn't do nothing. Now the baby done died, he worshiping like nothing happened. David said, I know what y'all talking about, but y'all don't know. It's nothing I can do. When I could, I prayed. I'll never... Watch this, the baby can't come back to me, but one day I'm going back to him. I gotta go. I'm gonna let y'all go. Can I talk to some mothers that's been to hell and worship kept you in the midst of what you were going through? There is a reason why we are taking our worship. I haven't forgotten my series. Preaching is hard. You gotta tie everything together. There's a reason why you see guitars up here, and black people and white people, and another level of worship, because something spoke to me and said, men, music, and millennials, that there's another level of worship. Worship breaks the yoke. All of you with social media psychologists who live on hearts and likes and friends, tell somebody, say, them not your friends. Go ahead. And they don't like you, and they don't have your heart. Girl, I got 325 likes. They don't like you. If God liked me, it don't matter if I got God's heart. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Turn to worship. All of you that came in late, I'm not fussing, but treat church better than you treat work. Get here early, because we're taking you into the presence with singing and guitars. We're going to add violins, you name it. We're going to add it to take us into God's presence, because worship will help you keep your sanity. Worship will keep you from cussing. Worship will keep you from losing your mind. Begin your day. Some of you marriages are falling apart. We got to get the tape downtown. I'm coming downtown. Okay, I'm finished. Oh my goodness. So David went to worship, and Pastor, what kind of trifling sermon is this? I ain't never heard nobody preach about Bathsheba on Mother's Day. You didn't talk about hurt women and confused women and young women and mothers who are single and mothers who are, I want to hear that mess. I thought you were going to preach a regular Jesus, Mary, Little Lamb Mother's Day sermon. What the mess is this? I ain't never heard no sermon like that. The baby died, misuse, abuse, baby's mama's daddy, unfinished business. All that, I want to hear about that. Is that your sermon for Mother's Day? Push somebody, say there's always another verse. Go ahead. Because the next verse says that David washed himself up, went in the room, made love to his wife, and they had a baby and named the baby Solomon. That's all I'm gonna get for that. Let me try it again. They had another baby and named the baby Solomon. And Solomon, the Bible says, is the wisest man that ever lived. What about, I'm sorry, out of all the stuff you've been through as a mama, all the mistakes you made, Pastor, what did I get out of it? Touch the sister and say, at least I got some wisdom. Go ahead. Is there any sister that's wiser, stronger, better than you used to be? Because at least your stuff taught you how to think first and love God first. If you don't shout on this part, there's nothing I can do. God bless you. I bid you goodbye. They're coming down the way. If you don't shout, there's nothing I can do. So what had happened is Matthew 1 says, and Jesse had a son, and his name was David. And David had a son, and his name was Solomon, from his wife Bathsheba. And Bathsheba, there is Rahab. And from Rahab, there is Joseph, the father of Jesus. And from Joseph, you get our Savior. Are you telling me that a tramp named Bathsheba was Jesus' grandmama? Rahab was a hooker. So Christ comes from holes and hood rats. And God used him to save the world, to every hoe in here. I'm a hoe, you know I'm a hoe. If you a hoe, if you a dope addict, if you a weed smoker, if you addicted to porn, God can use anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I dare you to praise him. If he brought you out, if he gave you another chance, if you should be dead, God bless you downtown. I'll see you in a minute. Somebody praise him. If you ain't never made no mistake, stay in your seat. But all hoes, ex-drinkers, ex-smokers, porn addicts, done some stuff, got a baby's father, been married before, had a baby out of wedlock, different last name, blended family like mine, jump up on your feet and shout, God can use anybody. I gotta go downtown. Nobody move, nobody gets hurt. This next shout is not for dignified people. This next shout is not for over-churchy people. Please sit down quickly. This last shout is for people who don't know how you made it this far. This last shout is for women that don't know how you survived. This last shout is for brothers like me who done a lot of stuff wrong, but God still spares you and spares your children. If your kids got 10 fingers and 10 toes, if you kissed them this morning, if you kissed them before they died, if you loved them the best you could, don't just shout for you. Everybody, shout for your future children and your present children. 1, 2, 3, dance! Everybody! Listen, listen. On this Mother's Day, I know I preached about mothers. That's just called being relevant. But don't get it twisted. It's about Jesus today. And I had no idea on Mother's Day so many people would get saved in Akron. They just kept coming. So even though in a narrow sense I was preaching to mothers, the broader narrative is that Christ can change anybody. I gotta say this so I can sleep tonight. Please don't walk. Please, ushers, help me. If ain't nobody dead, you ain't gotta go to work. Don't walk. I wanna say this. I wanna come against the spirit of guilt on every mother in this room and the spirit of regret. It's worth saying again at the risk of being redundant. I know mamas who raise their children perfect. In Sunday school, in church, loved one man in front of them, prayed for them, and never left them, and they don't go to church at all, have not become what they could, don't honor God, having been raised in a godly home. Conversely, I know mamas who did everything wrong, and their mamas did everything wrong, and they are doctors, lawyers, pastors, changed in the world. You were not a good enough mama to make your kids good, and you were not a bad enough mama to make your kids bad. Whatever your child has become, don't take too much credit. Say thank you, Jesus. To everybody whose child is in the penitentiary, I'm not saying you couldn't have done something better. That's called real. But every child has to make their own choice. So all of you with children that are great, don't be patting yourself on the back. Say, thank you, Jesus. And everybody whose children aren't doing so great, just plead the blood over them and say, I did the best I could where I was at the time. That's all a person can do, is the best they can where they were. You did what you knew how to do. If you're here today and you're a man or a woman, and you're unsaved or unchurched, the devil's going to tell you there's too many people. It's Mother's Day. What if God knows? I promise y'all, next week, I think I gotta do, watch this, 2 funerals in the same day. I'm running out of days. Tell me a church that does 2 funerals, one at 9 something, the other at 1, because we're running out of days. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, people dying, and you don't have to be doing nothing wrong to die. I got one Saturday, we got 2, I think, coming up. Somebody just died on my way back from Accra, one of my mothers, they told me. On my way back from Akron, I got a text. Mother Strickland, somebody just, I said, what? If you're here today, you don't have to be doing nothing wrong to die. And you don't have to be old to die. Most funerals I do here, I don't know the last time I buried somebody over 70. I don't know. I'm sure I have, but I don't remember. All my funerals, 35 and under, 20, 15, 40 something. If you don't know Christ today, on this Mother's Day weekend, would you just make God's day? You'll make your wife happy, your husband happy, you'll make pastor happy. If you don't go to our church, if you're sitting in overflow, can we open those doors back there, ushers? Thank you. If you're sitting in the overflow, don't join on the low. I want you to start walking across the field and walk across the hallway, the narthex. If you're in this room and you don't go to our church, raise your hand, please, if you're visiting today. I know some of you came with your children. If you have a church you go to, kiss your pastor for me. Tell them I'm so glad you came today. But if you don't go to anybody's church right now, raise your hand, please. If you're not in church every Sunday somewhere, raise your hand. Please, don't lie to me. The Holy Spirit is looking. Raise your hand. If you've never been baptized, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I see. If you're already a Christian, but you don't belong to any church faithfully right now, raise your hand. Jesus Christ loves you. And if you raise your hand, I don't want you to worry about these cameras. I want you to come walking down the aisle fast as you can from everywhere. We'll wait on you. Come from next door right quick. Come on, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. They're coming. Yes, yes, yes.
Danville, Louisiana. Get ready. Here it comes. Thursday, November 28th, Thanksgiving night. It's going to be the biggest party of the year. It is Grown Folks Night Out at the Winfield Civic Center in Winfield, Louisiana. This is the real grown and sexy party featuring the one and only DJ Christie and on the same stage, Tony Groove Live. Everybody in Wynn Parish and all over will be in the Winfield Civic Center for this once-in-a-lifetime big event. Doors open at 8 p.m. And this is a BYOB affair. Grown Folks Night Out. It's going to be a real party. Everybody's talking about it. It's going down. Spread the word. Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. It's coming to Winfield, Louisiana. Thursday, November 28th, Thanksgiving night. The Winfield Civic Center. The one and only DJ Christie and Tony Groove Live. For ticket information, 318-717-0515 or 447-0911. Or for table information, 318-628-3393. Grown Folks Night Out, Thanksgiving night in Winfield, Louisiana. Don't you miss it.
Grown Folks Night Out is a proud sponsor of KAYT, KQJOFM.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
The bond is stronger.